Last week we learned about thinking about godly things, and we had eight characteristics that we looked at, or eight virtues. And then we talked about doing good deeds. And I think it's important when we talk about anxiety to get our mind and our thoughts off ourselves and onto others. I think it's a good way of pushing the anxiety to the back, also allowing us to get out and help others that may be going through hardships and trials. And then we finished last week by being content. We're always so busy trying to do and be, and instead of just being content with where God has us and with what is going on around us, and just to sit back and say, wait a minute. And I like what that one person wrote, you know, let God have it. Let go and let God, if you will. Well, today I want to look at something that I think we need to pin to the mat in our lives. And these are basic verses. Through these basic verses, and I went back and I looked at the words fantastic. I've even grown myself in this area. But I think we need to nail this down in our lives. We need to pin what we're going to talk about today. We need to pin it down so that when those circumstances and situations in life come against us, we've got a foundation and we say to ourselves, no, I have already given this to Christ. So that's what we're going to look at today. First of all, Jesus says, go to Jesus for rest. That should be simple, and it pretty well is, but we don't do that a lot of times. Notice what he says here, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. There's the condition. Those who labor and are heavy laden. That's the condition or the time or the situation or the circumstance in which we are to go to Jesus. And I would say go to Jesus all the time, but specifically in those hardships of life. The word come is tada in the Greek, which implies movement, but also what Jesus is saying, he's saying this, come here. Now listen to this. Jesus is not calling us to his teachings. Jesus is not calling us to his miracles. Jesus is not calling us to a Sunday school class. What Jesus is saying here is, come to me, in front of me. Stand right in front of me so I can look at you and have a conversation with you. He's saying, come to me, not to anything else. You don't have to go to a Sunday school class. You can go directly to him. And here's the condition for which we do. All who labor. And the Greek word there means to be tired or heavy as a result of difficulties. How many of you have had difficulties in your life? Okay, good. That's all of us. We've all gone through difficulties. We've all gone through hardships. Maybe you're in them right now. That's the time when you go and you stand before Jesus. You have to make the movement. All those who are labor, this is a good picture of it. Many of us have been here. It's a point in our lives when we are weary of carrying things that we've been carrying way too long, that we've held on to. And you know what? You can become physically ill. You can become physically ill by continuing to labor over something that you shouldn't be laboring over. It's like doing something that you shouldn't be doing, but you're going to keep doing it anyway. All who labor. And it's usually as a result of situations that come against us. And then he notices, he says here, heavy laden. Heavy laden, that means to cause, to carry a heavy load. So not only are you burdened by this, and you're laboring with it, you are also being forced down by it. Have you ever had those mornings when you've gone through, I mean, you're in the midst, and I've been here, you're in the midst of turmoil in your mind and in your heart, and you wake up and you just feel heavy. Have you ever had those moments? This is a weight that Jesus is talking about. It's not a physical weight, but it is a spiritual weight that Jesus is talking about. Well, the solution is in three little words. Come to me. Come to me. I know that difficulties in life come. I get that. We all go through them. But it should never get to the place where we're losing sleep, where we're constantly thinking about it, where our joy is taken, where we keep working through scenarios in our mind and how we can fix this. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. But we shouldn't get to that place in our lives, because we're not meant to carry that. Jesus would not have said this if he'd have said, okay, I want you to be heavy laden, and I want you to labor, and I want you to be burdened. He didn't say that. He said, come to me when you have these. Jesus knows you're going to have these things. That is part of what it means to be a Christian. Those that want to live a righteous life will be persecuted. Those who want to live for Jesus Christ will endure hardships. We can expect no other, because Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, experienced hardships and trials in this life. And you think the burden of the cross was heavy. Jesus was beaten beyond probably recognition, carrying the cross to where he would be crucified and paid for our sins in full. So if anybody understands what it means to be heavy laden and to labor, Jesus does. Now, the second thing we're going to look at here, not only our condition, which is laboring and being burdened, but Jesus provides provisions. Notice what he says here, and I will give you rest. Anapeo, the word rest in the Greek, anapeo, it means to rest from work and to become physically refreshed. Now, on the other end, we're laboring, but now he's telling us that we don't have to labor. Do you see this? All those who are laboring, now he says that he wants to give you rest to make you stop laboring. A very beautiful image there of, here we are working so hard, but if we go to Jesus for rest, he will cease us from our work. Wow. I guess a good image would be this. Have you ever had a really good night's sleep? I mean, you wake up, you're just ready to face the day. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. It is a sleep. It is a restful sleep in which you no longer have the burdens and the hardships laying on you. When that happens, Jesus then takes it off of you, and he carries it. And by the way, if you remember right, Jesus carried our sins to the cross. He carried the cross for us. Jesus is a great cross and burden bearer. Nobody's ever done it better than him. Do you know what happens to you when you don't sleep, when you don't take care of yourself? Things start breaking down. Anxiety can kick in. Stress can kick in. And it all goes back to not resting and taking care of yourself. Everybody in here should be getting at least, according to medical experts, at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. You're supposed to be eating 7 meals a day, some of them small. But you take care of yourself physically. But here there is also a spiritual rest, a physical rest which heals the body, but a spiritual rest which heals the soul. Wow. I like what Dr. Craig Bloomberg said in his commentary. The rest Jesus offers his disciples enables them to overcome a certain measure of fear and anxiety and uncertainty and meaningless in the joy and peace of God's very presence in Jesus Christ. When we truly go to him, Jesus has the provisions to give to us. So many times in our lives, I think that we take it on our own initiative just to keep carrying the ball, to keep carrying the load. Verses 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you. This is fascinating too. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, there it is again, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, that is pleasant, and my burden is light, or my load is, if you want an English translation of my burden is light, it would be, and I wrote it down, my burden is lightweight. Jesus mentioned the word yoke. Oxen, they would have known what Jesus was talking about. It was the yoke that went around the oxen to keep two animals together. Do you hear this? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He's saying, take my yoke. Jesus, me, together. Listen, brothers and sisters, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this thing called life on your own. It doesn't work. I do not, seriously, with all my heart, I do not know how unbelievers go through life without any foundation in their heart. Jesus is saying, take my yoke. I will walk through this life and the hardships and trials with you. As you are coming to me and you are giving me your burdens and your trials, I am going to turn around and I'm going to give you rest that you have never experienced in your life, because his yoke is upon us. He is with us. Jesus is saying, my yoke. It's not the worldly yoke. It's my yoke. He wants to go the life through life with us, in our presence, with us. And I think Dr. Craig Bloomberg's right here. That this is in the very presence of Jesus Christ. If we go to him, it's kind of, if I could give you an image, it's like this. You're burdened. You go to Jesus. You unload your hardships and trials. And then you take his yoke and put it around your neck with him. And then you walk. Do you see where Jesus is going with this? This is fascinating. This is wonderful. But it starts by taking the step. You have to take the step. And then you release, and then he puts his burden on you. In symbolic way of saying, I'm going to go through this life with you. We aren't relieved of our hardships and trials. In one sense. But in the other sense, Jesus will go with us through it. Now, I tell you what. I want you to, this week, I want you to get that image in your mind. I want you to think that you are wearing a yoke and Jesus is right next to you. He's in you. But I think image is important. That you have an image where no matter where you go, Jesus is going with you. And by the way, the yoke is heavy for one person. It's lighter for two people. But the whole purpose of the yoke is to keep the two animals together. And what Jesus is saying is, my yoke, we will be together. And by the way, when those things are locked down, they don't come apart. Those animals walk and they stay together in perfect rhythm. John 14:27. So we go to Jesus for rest. And if you have your Bibles, I'll give you a second to turn there. John 14:27. And as I was looking through these scriptures and trying to connect them in a coherent message or sequence, I stumbled across what I think is a perfect follow-up to what we just talked about, going to Jesus for rest. And then he says, an internal serenity. Now in John 14:27, he says this, peace I leave you. Okay, so Jesus let his peace remain, because that's what the word leave means. When Jesus left this world, he put his peace here. He left his peace with us. My peace I give you. That's even an interesting word. The word give, it's an object of value. Beautiful language. So peace I leave with you. I'm going to let it remain here. My peace I give you, which is valuable. Not as the world gives, do I give you peace. Eirene. Eirene is the Greek word, which means harmony, tranquility, but guess what also else it means? The peace. it means, a secondary level of this word means freedom from worry. This is a specific peace that Jesus gives us. It is a peace, as he's walking with us, he says, I'm going to give you my peace, which will cause freedom from worry. It's almost like a vaccination that Jesus is giving us. As he is giving us his peace, he is leaving it with us so that we can enjoy it and have peace and freedom from worry. And I thought about what Jesus, when Jesus was alive, when Jesus was born, there was a thing called Pax Roma, or Romana. It depends on which one you like. I like Roma, it's shortened. That was universal peace during the time that Jesus was born. Remember we talked about the road systems being built. Everything was perfect. It was the moment of time, Galatians 4:4. At the right time, God sent forth his son. It was during this period. I'm wondering if Jesus is thinking about this because it's still trickling in to the day when Jesus was alive. First, it literally means Roman peace. Roman peace. It was a time when Rome was at peace. There were no wars. There were no fighting. By the way, there was economic prosperity. There was low crime, and there was a sense of security. It was a good day to be in Rome, to be in the culture. It was a good day. Businesses were booming. People were happy, had a good emperor on the throne. Everything was going fine, but let me tell you something. This is worldly. Let me tell you this, no matter who the next president is, he cannot solve all of our problems, or she cannot solve all of our problems. We do not trust in man. This is man's idea of peace. And you know what? You see this Colosseum, how long this lasted. Governments come, governments go, but the Word of God remains forever. The peace that Jesus is talking about is not of this world. It is not dependent upon man. It is not dependent upon what man can do. It is not dependent upon one's talents or abilities. It is, in essence, a restful peace that Jesus gives. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter what's happening in our lives and in the world, doesn't bother me. I'm not going to worry about it. Why? Because I know who gave me perfect peace. By the way, that looks nice, doesn't it? I think that's the kind of peace, tranquility, that Jesus is talking about. Now, that'd be great. You could just sit out there and just rest. Get that image in your mind this week. When you think about, he says, the peace that I give you, it's harmony, it's tranquility and freedom from worry. You go out there, you can just, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't see any, well, maybe there are a couple of coconuts you could take down and eat that. That's awesome. Coconut juice. This is available through Jesus. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He never closes. He goes on to say in the second half of this verse, let not your hearts, plurality meaning us, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Heart, or hearts, the word cardia, which is where we get our word for heart. But it refers to the person's psychological life, the inner self, the inside man, the seat of emotions or feelings. Man's idea of peace will change with circumstances. Jesus' idea of peace will come inwardly. This is not a peace that the world offers. This is a peace that only you can experience in your heart. Have you met those people who are going through all kinds of maybe horrific things, and yet they just sit back and they, you know why? They went to Jesus. They went to Jesus, they unloaded, took on his burden, walking with him. And Jesus says that I'm going to give you freedom from worry, and I'm also going to give you a heart change. The word troubled can mean shaking or stirring. Okay, I got to tell you something. I'm having problems with dentist. The last time I did my dentist worked on my tooth. Not this guy. This is not my dentist. So I don't put him on the spot. You can take a picture. God, no. I had my phone with me. And I'm going to tell you, she shot me the first time, waited 20 minutes, started drilling. I felt it. She shot me the second time, waited 20 minutes, started drilling. I felt it. She gave me a third shot in my gums. She waited 20 minutes. She started drilling. I was flinching. She gave me a fourth shot and said, "This is as far as I can go with this." And I felt it even after the fourth shot, but she had to finish it. Now, I've got a wonderful solution to this, and I've already told my dentist, because I have a root canal coming up. I've already told my dentist there's a wonderful solution to this. And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Sleep dentistry." Because I'm going to tell you, this is what was happening to me in the chair. I'm not kidding you. I was like, and then she gave me a second thing, was epinephrine or whatever that is for the, it makes you really shake. And I'm like, and I'm texting Audrey, "Please pray, this is killing me." I was scared. I'll be honest with you. I was scared to death. The time before that, my other dentist was drilling, and I kept flinching. And then my dentist, you know, there's that moment when you look at your dentist and you're laying down. There's nothing you can do about it. And my dentist looked like this. This was the man dentist. He looked just like this. He went. And then I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, dude, you need to shut this baby down. If you're doing that, I can see it." He's like, and I'm like, "Oh," he goes, "this is a weird tooth." And I said, "I'm weird. Okay, I get it. Let me get out of here." Wow. Two bad root canals in a row. And I just said, And my dentist said, "Well, you know, there's weak." No, sleep. Pass me along to the sleep dentist. I've had so much dental work, I just can't do it anymore. I told her, I just cannot do it anymore. And I thought about that because of the word trembling here. It was like inside. And have you ever got that way in your life? That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's a trembling, an inward trembling. I wanted to show you the outward trembling. And if you want to say I'm a baby about getting dental work, you can say I'm a baby, but I'm going to be under. The next time and I'm going to make sure the guy let the anesthesiologist, and when you put, even if you put me on the brink, you make sure I'm out. The word afraid comes alongside this, troubled, but also the word afraid. And it means to lack courage. Remember this guy? The cowardly lion. "Why, I'd thrash him from top to bottomless." And then he gets in front of him and he's like, freaking out. I like the cowardly lion, but the ten man's my favorite. I like him, but this word afraid means to lack courage. Not you just don't have it in you to do it. But what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to give you, if you are that situation in your life, I am going to give you what you need to be courageous. lastly. So we go to Jesus for rest. He gives us peace, serenity in our hearts by putting all anxiety on him. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Let me say, I know there's a lot of good dentists. I've got a good dentist, but I can't do what she wants me to do anymore, so without going to sleep. Now, this is Peter writing, and he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Humble is an aorist verb imperative in the Greek. You say, "Pastor, what does that have to do with the price of eggs in China?" Well, I'll tell you this. The aorist tense is if you took a snapshot of somebody's life. It's like when you have your, and I have my iPhone, you always tell me not to take it, so I didn't bring it. It's like when you take those selfies. That's what this aorist tense means. It means a selfie, just a snapshot. Now I guess they have these selfie sticks. But you can have these sticks and you can take a snapshot of your life where you are at the moment. That's what aorist tense means. But it is also a verb in the sense that it requires action. And it is also an imperative, which means it's not something that is open for debate. So we have a snapshot or a moment in time when an individual, and the word humble means to go low. It almost carries this idea. Just like this. And it's a snapshot. You're taking a picture in a moment of time when you are humbled before God. Here's another image. That would be a good image of the aorist tense imperative. It's somebody that is almost on their knees acknowledging that Jesus and God are higher. And by the way, that's what it takes for salvation too. You know that, right? You must come to the cross humbly and receive Christ. This hand of God, under the hand, under the mighty hand of God, the powerful hand of God, this is what happens. And actually, the language gives you the idea of placing yourself in the hand of God to, like, you are sitting like this. Do you know what's there? I thought about that this week. Do you know what's in the hand of God? When you are in the hand of God, do you know what's there? Joy. Right? Joy's there. Security. Jesus said this, "No man shall pluck you out of the Father's hand." Security. By the way, if you're in Jesus Christ this morning, you are eternally secure. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you are eternally secure. If Jesus says, "No man shall pluck you out of my hand," it is impossible for you to pluck your own self out, since you are a man or a woman. When you are in this hand, you are in a place of security, a place of care. You think about the hand of God. There's a lot of images for God, and you have a whole person. You have his eyes of God, the voice of God, the ears of God. You have the hand of God, the feet of God. So we have this wonderful image of God in Scripture. And here Peter is saying, in the mighty hand of God, there is power in the mighty hand of God too. Now notice, there is also deliverance in the hand of God. When you're in God's hand, it's almost, I just like this so much. I could keep going on this for another 45 minutes, but I probably won't. And notice what he says, "So at the proper time, he may exalt you." at just the right time, at just the right moment, God will exalt you. Do you know what it's like you know what it's like you're doing? If this was the hand of God and I were to step on top of the hand of God, he would already have his hand on me so that he could easily lift me up. You see that? When we just say, okay, God, I'm stepping into your hand. I'm allowing this situation. I realize that you're my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. I can't do this. I have no pride. I've humbled myself, and you're going through a tough situation. God goes, wait there. I lift you up. But you can't do that when there's pride in your heart. It's very hard to do. So sometimes we go through the same stuff over and over and over again because we haven't gotten to the place of humbleness and bowing before Christ. When we do that, we set ourselves right in the hand of God. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's the best place to be. Oh, we're always in Christ. I get that. But there are times in our lives when we just go, no, I'm not going to get in the hand of God. You know what, God? I got this. Okay. All righty then. How's it working? You figured it out yet? And you know what? God being God says, okay. You see all these wonderful images that we have today? Oh, my gosh. These texts are pregnant with images, beautiful images. Our duty is humbleness. Our action, notice. I have thoroughly enjoyed this sermon this morning. If nobody else did, I've enjoyed it. Casting all of your anxiety on him. Casting means to throw up on, not like throw up on something, but to throw up on. Like this. So we go, it's if you want an image, you are taking your burdens. And you are casting. Not like fly fishing, but the word refers to unloading a burden like this lady is. And if this was her spiritual problems, you see where she's placed them up there. It's to throw. That means you do this in your mind or in your heart, however you work it out. Thomas Schreiner, one of my favorite theologians. I love him. The way he writes, this may offend some of you, but it's truth. This is what he said. Worry is a form of pride. He's right. He's right. When we are prideful, when we worry, it's a form of pride. Watch. Worry is a form of pride because when believers are filled with anxiety, they are convinced that they must solve all problems in their lives and in their own strength. The only God they trust is in themselves. When believers throw their worries upon God, they express their trust in his mighty hand, acknowledging that he is Lord and sovereign over all of life. He is dead on it. If you want to know if you're prideful, check the worry gauge in your life. Because it does. It really does, folks. I know people that will hold on to their burdens. And they try to go through life like this. I'm like, if you're watching this person and they're like struggling, you go, you think you should put that down? Or at least get a couple of us. We'll actually help it. I got it. I'm a tough guy. You know what happens to tough guys? Heart attacks. Stroke. Sleepless nights. That's what happens to tough guys. And why? And I've even met people that said, no, you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you work on it. Nah. No, I'm sorry. Especially when you got the Savior who redeemed you waiting. Absolutely totally agree with that statement. Worry is a form of pride because you will not go to Jesus. Now, if you've gone to Jesus and you still have worry, that may be a different scenario. But I know people that they're Christian and they're just going to go tough this up and they're going to work their way through it. Okay. And then you talk to them later, they're not sleeping well, they're not doing well, they're not eating well, and they walk into church and they look like they just drank lemon juice. Yeah, I know why you're not happy. And you know who's laughing? Do you know who's laughing through all this? One person. Satan. Do you know what? Satan can't touch your salvation, but he can mess with your joy. He doesn't want you running to Jesus. He just says, you know what, just suck it up and run with it. Why should we do that? Well, why should we take all of our anxieties and all of our concerns and do that? Because he cares for you? By the way, the word care, mele, in the Greek, this almost made me cry. I don't usually look at words, you know, I mean, I look at them, but then there's words you kind of bypass and you kind of forget about, but the word mele in the Greek means God thinks about you and is concerned. You and I, when we have burdens, God is looking at us and he's concerned. Because God gives us a choice and he loves us. God gives us a choice to take our burdens and our anxieties and our hardships and just go to him. We've seen the whole image, the whole process here in these verses. Go to him, give, take the yoke. He gives us peace, gives us strength. We step in the hands of God. We humble ourselves so that he can lift us up at just the right moment. And that problem and that circumstance and that situation that you're in, let me just remind you that the God who redeemed you knows everything about it. He knows every detail. Do you know why? God created the heavens and the earth. He saw it was good. God is over here looking back over history. God knows what's coming. He knows what's coming in your life. He's got the master plan. And so God gets concerned when he looks down. He goes, Mike's just not getting this. I love him. Just give it to my son. Give it to him. Let me say quick three things. When you're worried, I'm going to give you the easiest solution. We need to nail these. We need to put this today on the mat. We need to pin it so that God can go, this is what we need to do. When we're worried, go to Jesus. The moment that anxiety and fear come over you, go to Jesus. Secondly, ask Jesus to join you and place his yoke around you. Just knowing, if you get this mental image, this image in your mind, when you go to him, ask him to please join you because the burden is heavy. Get that image that you are walking with Jesus. Wow. I love that image. And while you're doing that, just take, I don't know, the best best way to do this is just write down every concern that you have and just go, Jesus, I can't carry it anymore. So I give it to you. This should not be us. We need to start getting rid of all the stuff that's on us. Go to Jesus. He'll give you rest. He'll give you internal peace. We just got to throw all of our anxieties on him.